with Ryan Reese from Southern California. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag Live Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
Tonight, I have Brad Alden in studio and his beautiful wife, Danielle. And they just they signed with Sony Music, and they do amazing worship, and they tour all over the United States and working on world stuff in the future. And you have a new EP that's coming out on October 4th. So I wanted to bring you guys back on the show, and it's actually perfect timing because the show just got picked up on more stations. So now we're on 109 stations across the United States, live in L.A., L.A., New York City, Miami, I mean, where else? I mean, Albuquerque.
Awesome.
We just got picked up on in Wichita, Kansas, all up and down the East Coast, New York, New Jersey, Philly, you know. So this is actually great. Perfect timing to get the word out and let everyone know. And we're on a station called Effect Radio, which is 59 music stations.
Wow, right.
Oh, cool.
So we have the music. We have the music listeners listening to this station.
Well, we love what you do, man. The whosoever is in the high school stuff. Wow.
Well, dude, thank you.
I wish I met a guy like you when I was in high school. Seriously.
Yeah, I me too. Because I would have been inspired to not get caught up in all that crazy stuff. Me and you have similar testimonies.
Yeah.
All the way to the Playboy bunnies.
He was more in the med wrestling stripper zone.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, actually,
I didn't have to have status, man.
Actually,
he was the official whistleblower.
You guys need to literally listen to the past show. There's a story about.
Thanks, babe.
He got invited to be a referee at a mud wrestling.
And they said, just show up with a striped shirt and a whistle or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what am I going to do? Just be there.
Just be there. And this was his journey to find Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he did in a powerful way. And God is doing, hey, I mean, here you are, signed with Sony Music, doing worship and touring. And the other thing that, you know, we're going to talk more about your music and the songs and everything, but you also run a major denim business. I know you're very humble and you don't talk much about it, how big it is, but it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it works together, which I want to talk about a little bit. Do you want to talk about it right now? About how it works?
Sure, man. Yeah. You're the boss.
Go for it.
So we have a company called Artisan Cloth, and we're partnered with probably one of the most famous denim makers in the industry called Carabo. And they make fabric out of Osaka, Japan. They've been making really special yarns for over 100 years, 130 years. And they were the pioneers of selvedge denim, and all the fashion guys and the denim enthusiasts, they love their selvedge denim. So they've evolved over the years. We work with them for almost 15 years, and what we do is twice a year we develop innovations with yarn, with fibers, sustainability. We have 150 brands that we work with, from high-end jeans brands to the mass market wholesale retail shops. And it's just so much fun because the fashion and music parallels are unbelievable. And the creatives in both zones is kind of like technical and creative people together. We have just a blast. And when we travel, it funds our ministry, for one, which is amazing. So we don't lean on the church. We want to be a blessing to the church. And we have clients or brand partners almost everywhere we go. So last 2 weeks ago, we went to New York. We're like, called a church. Hey, we're coming to New York. They're like, okay, cool. Will you jump in and lead worship while you're here? And it's just awesome because we stay plugged in and we build more community. Then we hope to be a bright light in the denim industry. And we have a showroom in New York on Bryant Park and one in the Arts District downtown LA. And that's what we do.
And what's really cool too is in our industry, he's been in the denim industry for over 20 years. So there's so many people that, you know, once you're in this industry, you stay in this industry, you just kind of move around, you know, from to different brands or you do different jobs in the industry. But so many people have known him prior to becoming Christian and then knowing him now as a Christian. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they've seen his transformation. And it's really cool because, he's like got friends from back in the day, I guess you would say, and they've just seen his life change so much.
Your friends that see you now, what do they say? I mean, do they see a transformation? There's obviously a transformation, but they're like, he's still the same guy.
Exactly, yeah.
But there's something different about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not like you change, you know, because a lot of people go, well, if I give my life to God, I work in the industry, and, you know, do I have to change the way I am? No, God wants to use you, like you were saying, mm-hmm. I wrote it down, a bright light in this industry.
Right, right.
And but people see the change because there's two kinds of witnesses. There's like a good witness for Christ and a bad witness.
Right.
And the good witness is you're just following what God's called you to do, but you let your light shine in the industry. And that's why I love having you guys on the show, mm-hmm. because the whole main thing with the movement is I've always had a heart to, like, if we reach the people that are in culture, well, that changes culture.
Right. Yes.
Instead of like, well, we're just going to go pray for people on Skid Row and go into the rehabs, which is awesome. Do that too. But if you could reach kids right where they're at and mm-hmm. reach people in culture, you change the kids before they even get to Skid Row or
right,
the rehab.
Right.
It's like you got to do prevention.
You're creating a whole new culture.
Well, yes.
And I didn't know. People don't mm-hmm. know that, like, you think in your mind before, even before I was a Christian, you think, well, I have to change and talk this way and act that way.
Yeah.
And so when I first went to the Dream Center for the first time after my divorce, I saw people like with full sleeve tattoos and a drunk guy over there and a homeless guy there and Stevie Wonder over there, like everything. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, wow, you can be yourself. Yeah. And still love God. So that process has been amazing to learn and grow even deeper in. Like, wow, like I think God wants us to be creative and interesting and special. And he's just like going, yeah, go get it. Use those things I gave you because mm-hmm. you're one of a kind.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at, okay, since we're talking about being creative. When you look at God, he's the creator. You know, obviously he talks in Genesis how he created everything. Then, you know, he created the animals. I mean, I don't know if you just, have you ever Googled fish? And you've seen how many different variations of fish. And then the colorways, the way they blend, or like birds. I mean, when you start looking at just the design of colorways of like the patterns of different animals and fishes. And then you look at just like the way the trees blend and the
sky.
The sky, the sunset, everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, God created all these things. And then he got nose, hands. You know, we all have the same limbs. But then you see how diverse every human is. And no fingerprints the same. There's no snowflake the same.
No eye.
When you start really like looking how big and creative God is, now we were created in God's image. Mm-hmm. So we were created to create and be individuals. And there's nothing wrong with that. But people, I think, have identity crisis.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they go, and that's, I think that's Satan's biggest lie to the church.
Wow.
Is now you're a Christian. Change all that. Don't do any of that. Now you're irrelevant to culture.
Right.
When you can be shifting, and you were saying create a new culture.
Right. And so many people think that exactly what you're saying, that now that I'm a Christian, now I feel like I have to make this choice between my passion and job and whatever I'm good at and being in ministry. So a lot of people will be like, okay, I'm a doctor, but I don't feel like I'm fully ministering, so I'm going to quit my practice and become a, you know, youth pastor.
Or a double life even.
And we don't have to make that choice. That's what the whole point is. God's like, wait a minute, you're a doctor. You know how many lives you can impact in that world, in that culture? It's not a, there's not a divide. You know what I mean?
Like you were saying, people think, and by the way, Danielle's a pastor's daughter.
Yes.
So just for the record. So people think that if they're going to follow God, that they have to be in a ministry in the church.
Position,
and that's also the biggest lie from the enemy.
Right.
Because it detours so many people.
Right.
Right.
When Jesus says, go out and make disciples to the nations, he's actually, his call is to go out.
Right.
He's not saying chill in the church. And people think, I got to be in a ministry and be in the church, when the Great Commission is to go out.
Amen.
Right.
To all parts of the
world. And then people don't feel like they're as important if they're not on a stage.
I know that.
Well, I'm not a worship leader. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a youth pastor. I'm not a whatever. I'm just a greeter. Or I'm just a, and that is not at all,
not at all
how it's supposed to be.
Yep.
So there's a place for everybody. There's a place for the pastor, someone like my dad, and then there's a place for the person in the workplace and everything. It's not a choice you have to make.
I think it was Paul. He was writing about we're all different pieces of the body. You know, you have the eye, you have the nose, the toe. You know, I'm the stinky toe with the wart on it. You know, but or the bunion or whatever they're called. But we're all different parts. And for me, I love, and I know you guys obviously do because this is what you guys do, but I love, I'm like the opposite. I'm like to be like John the Baptist, you know, like he's out in culture. He was away in the desert and people think, oh, John the Baptist, he was just in the middle of the desert and people were coming to him. Yeah. Well, when you go to Israel and you tour the Holy Land, which you guys should actually go with us.
We want
to.
Never
we need to.
Yeah. Come with us. We go every other year, but, he was actually, when you go to that site where he would have been, he was next to the water. And that place is where people would come from Europe and people would come from Asia. And they would come in and they would pass right through that area through Israel. And then they would go into Africa. It was actually a major highway. So picture yourself in the middle of the 101, the 110, and the 60 and the 5 where they all meet. Here's John the Baptist. It is a major highway where all these highways would meet for them to travel from the different provinces. Wow. And he was there and he was next to the water. When you're in the desert, you want to be next to the water.
Yeah.
So he's next to the river. He's standing there and people are coming. Talking about being in the world. He was a pastor's kid. He was in line to become a priest in the temple.
Okay.
But he said, that's not my call. I'm not doing that. And it just said he bounced and he was just in the desert, just chilling, waiting for God to give him the green light. And then God gave him and he said he went.
Wow.
And he waited for his time. And then he surfaced and he was literally, like Jesus says, in the world, but not of the world.
Right.
He was literally with the pagans.
Yeah.
It wasn't it wasn't the church people. And he's a perfect example. And he said, the Bible says that he was one of the most amazing men that ever lived. But anyone that comes after him, that has God in their life, that they'll be even greater. And I paraphrase because I don't have a good memory.
No, it's good. But I wrestled with that even you know, I think there's musicians we'll meet that are, they look at worship as a gig, and that's one thing. But I started, you know, my life changed at the Dream Center, got involved in worship, and then just for whatever reason, we weren't as involved. And I wrestled with like, oh, well, we don't count if we're not at that place every Sunday.
Yeah.
And what's happened, though, is we just stayed prayerful, and all of a sudden God's, like, showing us that, you know, you have this huge platform with all of your clients around the world, and you've been given this gift and passion for music. Now I want you to use it everywhere. But it was kind of like even I was sort of wired thinking as a new Christian, like, it has to happen in those four walls, and we're not as valuable there, you know?
And that is, again, this is, I believe, and I'm in the process of doing a book right now. But I have a chapter called Lucifer, and it's exactly what his job is and what he likes to do with the church. It's all mind games.
Yeah.
Yep. You got to look at this, okay? Let me put things in perspective. You are absolutely right. God has opened major doors for you to be in the world, in the culture. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many pastors and leaders are dying for an opportunity to be relevant in the culture and backstage, if you will, or like in this circle of like giants of culture, people are dying for that. And that's, and God has placed you there, but yet the enemy's like, no, dude, you got to be in the church.
Right.
You got to be in the church. When Jesus is saying, go out. Mm-hmm. And that's why when I look at, I love this conversation. I love talking about this kind of stuff. This is why, and this is what you guys are obviously doing, but that's why when you look at the church at large, is everyone's so scared to go do outreach and to do things because they're like, oh, well, that looks like the world, or I'm with sinners, or I'm not with the body of Christ. Right. But so they're not even able to actually live the Great Commission the way they're supposed to,
right?
Because they're too caught up in the institution rules and the regulations. Yes. When this is not even in the Bible. You know what's in the Bible? What you guys are doing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's what God's called us to do.
I think fear, you know, fear is a liar,
Who's the doctrine of fear? That's Satan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Totally cool.
It's fear. Satan.
I love it. That's why we love what you do, too. The raw, our last tour we called the Unfiltered Gospel, because we're telling testimonies. We're talking about our, not necessarily our mud wrestling days, but.
You saved that for radio.
Yeah, save that for radio.
but just being real yeah. talk, being raw. And the music's like a little bit more rocking than you might find on a Sunday morning. But we love that stuff. But
you have a rock and roll.
But you have a real raw ministry out in the world. And I think that's why we connect with each other, because I love what you do.
Well, your music, talking about we can get in your music now. So when I listen to it, it definitely has more of a rock feel, because you were actually in a rock band before, which is awesome, because, you know, personally, I can't, it's like you go everywhere and you hear the same style of music.
But it's the same thing. People want to be safe, right?
Yeah, where's the originality of new worship and new sound coming up? The world's completely always pushing new stuff, but it's like you hear the same song over and over and over and over, played, you know, the same way. It's like, there needs to be originality. God has created us to produce original stuff. So I would encourage all you guys definitely to look into Brad Alden Music. It's on any of the platforms. Yep. Go ahead and plug where they can find this stuff, and then we'll talk about your music.
Yeah, man. My Instagram's at the Brad Alden, A-L-D-E-N, and bradalden.com is our website. We've released two singles with Sony Provident through a Nashville-based company called Bridge Music, and we're about to release our third EP, which is going to be three songs, called New Soul. And it's an extension of the Unfiltered Gospel Tour. So we're going to continue what we started. We've been building on something really cool that I think we've created. But even as we're talking here and I'm listening to you, I'm realizing, like, the fact that God sort of waited until later in my life to, you know, expose a lot of what we're doing now to me, and we've made a decision to be a blessing to the church and finance our own tours and recordings and things like that. It's just opened up so many doors that I don't think I would ever imagine possible if we were seeking a record deal or something like that. But anyway, New Soul's the name of the new EP. Sorry if I'm babbling, but it's just exciting. three songs on there. Good Day's our first song. It's the sort of catchphrase is, it's going to be a good day. It's just, you know, we're just having fun in a walk with Jesus. So since the sound is kind of riding on the fence between rock and roll real and yet it's all centered on God. The songs are the same way. They're just, it's like they're all kind of joyful, fun songs. And we called the EP New Soul because it's kind of a new soulful groove. It's like you could imagine old Bob Seger or R&B mixed with, you know, rock and roll. And yet it's all praise and God centered, but it's fun and it's grooving. And of course our ultimate goal is to save souls and tell our story. But so anyway,
and there's so much, and I've done an event with you guys at the Dream Center, and you know, even like the testimony,
that was
so
amazing.
There's so much power in the testimony. It can't, you know, because I started off telling my testimony and you know, I'd have people like, oh, are you still telling your testimony or are you teaching? And I was already teaching, but I'm like, dude, there's so much power in the testimony.
Oh, yeah. Changed my life.
Yeah, the testimony. So keep doing that. Let's talk about some of the songs on it.
Good Day is the first song. You can talk about Good Day a little bit. In our video.
Oh, yeah. So we made a really cute, fun music video of the song It's Gonna Be a Good Day. We can't wait for you to see that, because our friend Tyler, who's part of our band, if you will, he's from Austin, his daughter's in it, she's 10, and basically that song's just about when you wake up in the morning, and
it's a decision,
it's making a decision, you know, to have joy in Christ. And there's so many things that we deal with every day, whether it's some, you know, awful thing like cancer or something, or it could be simply just traffic on the way to work. Mm-hmm. But we are deciding, you know, it's going to be a good day because I have Christ, you know, and that's my security, you know. And so the words are, no matter what comes my way, you know, I know it's going to be a good day. So it is a very simple song, but it's really fun. And we actually hope it becomes like one of those songs that's on a commercial, or you know what I mean? Cause it's a joyful,
it's
song.
Pharrell's happy for praise music.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And then the two other ones we have, Praise the Lord and More of Your Love, which are, have, you can talk more about the music part of it, but, the cool part about those songs is they have a lot of instruments, a lot of parts, a lot of vocals. And so it's, if anyone wants to do these songs at their church or anywhere, they can include so many different genres of people and vibes and instruments and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not just down one narrow path of like, okay, it's this type of song. It's kind of inclusive.
Right.
And I think that's what makes it really cool. And for his journey, I feel like, you know, he comes from this like rocker, like hair band background, you know, like, like Hollywood, like that whole thing.
Yep.
And then, you know, he like transitions into, okay, now I'm learning worship and I'm going to, you know, write some Christian lyrics to, okay, now we need to make this like worship sing-along-ish at a church to now we're kind of back to, you know what, this is like, we're combining the two where he's coming back into his own, what's the word?
Authenticity.
Authenticity of like, okay, his rocker style. We're not going to try to be anybody else, like try to like make our music sound right for church.
Right.
Instead, we're going to preach the gospel, win souls to Christ, allow people to worship, but keep the same authenticity.
The way God designed
us.
You know?
Yeah. And so he has that kind of style in his voice.
Yeah.
And I feel like now we're going, it's okay, use that same style. But for a moment in the last couple of years, we were trying to find our way.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like we found our way now, you know, and, and now we're.
So your way is just being who God created you to be.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But at first you feel like, you feel like you have to kind of conform and do it a certain way and become what you just said.
I know.
And it's not, it wasn't a bad thing. It was just.
That's what I was trying to say earlier is because we're not, you know, thinking of it as a gig or trying to get money or someone to pay the way we can do it our way.
Yeah.
And this last opportunity, this three-song EP, we were approached by the same people said, hey, let's start talking about the next release. And these three songs are kind of oddball songs that we already had recorded. Mm-hmm. And but live, they didn't fit the Christian box, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But live, they were the ones that people go, oh, wow, that was so cool. That was fun. Like, who wrote that? Or they're singing along and they never heard it before. So I sent three and I said, well, pick maybe do any of these three work? And they're like, oh, we love all of those. Like, let's put it all out together. And it was just like it taught us a big lesson. Like, we just got to be real.
Just got to be who you are.
And then now we just wrote another song.
I love this conversation. This is so dope.
Yeah. So we added another song that'll be coming out later. That's kind of a bonus track. And that one's got a really vibe. And he does the whole – well, okay, I'm saying this because I'm his wife, but also because –
she's going to say I'm hot.
He has
because
he's so hot. No, but he has this style in his voice that he doesn't always do because we're at church. And like in this. Yes. And in this other song, he does a scratchy thing and the like super high note. And I'm like, yes, that's what I've been wanting you to do. Because, I mean, you know, for my 40th birthday, I'm wanting him to like sing me some Bon Jovi songs, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I like it when he does that stuff in there.
When's your birthday?
Well, I'm almost 38, so he has 2 years to plan my 40th. Yeah,
okay, got it.
I'm already writing some 90s songs down for him.
Perfect.
To sing,
so. You got to do a big party. We'll be there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's dope. Because you guys were trying. Let's talk a little bit about that because obviously there's a lot of musicians that listen to the show and people are trying to find their way in Christianity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were just saying that you were just trying to fit the church mold.
Mm-hmm.
And it just you didn't have peace in it.
Right.
How was that? Let's talk a little bit about that experience. How was that when you were trying to find you were listening to stuff and you're like, this is what the church wants, but yet you're like, well, this is who we are,
right?
And this is how we produce music. Mm-hmm. What was that? What was the some of the things you guys went through during that time leading up to that point where you finally go, this is it? Because there's guys right now that are going through the same issue.
Well, I think just to help segue you, we had those few songs. Mm-hmm. Already recorded and they've been sitting in the bag and we kept going, we love this song and we would sing it places, you know, the songs we're releasing now, Good
Day,
Praise the Lord.
Get it,
but we're like, I don't know if that would fit in like a worship service or I don't know if that would, you know, so they've just been sitting there basically.
Yeah. Well, what I know is
when you think, sorry.
Yeah, no.
When you think worship, you think like, it's like the institution mindset. It's like, this is
it.
Right.
So it's like we're actually putting it in a box.
Exactly.
By saying that.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's not good.
Right.
And so I just know that if you end up doing something that isn't really who you are, even if you reached a paramount of success, it isn't going to be wholesome, awesome, joyful. You're going to be like, well, it's still not me. So now what?
Exactly.
Right? So, yeah. So it's really exciting, actually,
right,
because to finally get the opportunity to go, okay, this is just who we are. And the funny thing, Ryan, about this timing of, well, you're having us on and your show's exploding, which is going to go even bigger. I know it.
Yes, Jesus. Let's go.
last February this year, we went up to Portland and we did some live recordings with an organization called CCLI. Do you know who they are?
Mm-mm.
So CCLI does like all the sheet music for Christian, like people that go on multi-tracks and download charts for their services. That's where they all get it.
Okay.
It's all CCLI.
Got it.
So they invited us up to do some stuff, and just randomly, before I even knew these songs were going to be picked up, we recorded two out of the three songs up there. And so it ends up that they are going to release Good Day the same day our video and song comes out, and they sent out a blast to 200,000 churches around the world. And it's just like, it's just cool because
it's beyond cool. You know, there's a lot amazing
between between that and a European tour. And we're going to do a little album release concert at Nashville the day before the Dove Awards. And it's just cool. I mean, and so we know now we have to like tell our story and be real and raw. Otherwise, what difference does it make? There's enough music.
You're going to be just like everyone else.
Right.
This is how you stand out.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just being unique.
It's funny. It's like the opposite of what you think. You think you got to do all these things. You're like, no. Like, figure out who God made you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's the simplest hard thing there is.
Right.
You know,
definitely a process.
When I started the movement 11 years ago, the stuff I was doing these big music festivals, and people were like, "This doesn't look Christian. What are they doing?" Everything that we used to do, people were just like, it didn't fit in the mold. But we were like, we're skaters. Everyone plays in bands. Like, our friends are tattoo artists. Our friends flip dirt bikes for a living. We surf. We're, you know, this is like who we go to electronic events. This is who we are.
Well, and so plus, why would those guys go to church if they didn't feel welcome too, right? Mm-hmm. So you're bringing God to them.
Exactly.
So that's another reason I love it.
It's just, you know, or, you know, the way you look or, you know, whatever. It's like, I'm not going to change. If I've dressed like this my whole life, like if I've been an skateboarder my whole life, why am I going to look like something else that fits the mold of what else is on stage? You know what I would be? A big poser.
Yep.
A poser. Because if you're trying to be something that you're not, and you're trying to write music and songs that aren't even you, that you don't even want to do, but you're like, we got to do it for the deal, you guys are posers.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dude, who wants to be a poser? That's like the worst thing to be in the world.
And it's a miserable place, too.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
So here, so listeners, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Go after, be who you are, because God created you who you are. There's only one you. There's only ever going to be one of you. And he designed you for a specific plan and purpose. And I've said this over and over and over. And the dope thing is when you're walking in that walk, that's where you feel the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, you're producing stuff and you're doing things and you're like, that was sick. Mm-hmm. And that was totally like what God put on my heart because God created me to do that.
Right.
But if you do other events to please men, dude, you're going to be, you could be like you were saying, you could be successful and sell millions of albums.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to be like, that album's not even me.
You'll feel like the biggest phony.
I'll
tell you a true story. There's a guy that was involved in the first release we had. And you know, everybody that wants to help, you know, and do stuff. And so you send it to these radio promoters who have a very specific format.
Right. Yeah.
And they'll give you feedback like, oh, that would have been great last year. Or, you know, it's too heavy or it's not heavy enough or it's whatever.
Yeah.
And it can be really discouraging. So I think you'll have to walk through plenty of seasons of disappointment or people not accepting you, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, when you're leading the way and you're like a trailblazer and you're doing unique stuff, you know, the church industries, they're behind.
Mm-hmm.
They're behind the stuff that we were doing.
And they're afraid.
Well, yeah, they're behind and they're afraid because they're behind. They're still stuck 10 years behind.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how long it took for the church industry to bring in hip hop.
I know.
Think about that.
Go Lecrae.
Okay. Speaking of Lecrae, so Rob and I got saved. It was 2008. Around this time it was 2009. It was a year after, and we flew back east to go to a Franklin Graham crusade because Lacey Sturm, the rocker, she was playing there, And when we were, I flew in with Sonny Sandoval, the lead singer of POD, and we awesome. Were there. When we walked back there, people were like, who are these fools? You know what I mean? But obviously everyone knows who Sonny is, so he was getting recognized. And
we're going to be going to break right now for 2 minutes. For all you guys that are listening, go to the Whosoever's app, download it. It's free. It has all the past radio shows you could catch. Get that and much more. And then don't forget that we're going to be doing a men's conference at the Anaheim Convention Center. It's going to be with Franklin Graham, Jeff Johnson, John Randall, myself, Jack Hibbs, and many more. The date is going to be Saturday, November 9th at 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come one, come all.
More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Is everything all right?
Sure. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
Loud noises! Everyone knows who Sonny is, so he was getting recognized. And we met Lecrae's manager, at that time his road manager. And that's when Lecrae and them just came out. So it was this big deal. You got this black dude rapping at this big white event. You know what I mean? And but this was in 2009.
Wow.
This was like, it was just happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ish. I mean, he might have been, I mean, obviously Lecrae was doing hip hop way longer than that.
Right.
But this was like, finally, they made it to like a Franklin Graham event or like a crusade event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's crazy.
No, when I went to Bible college, that was 2000. Okay. When I graduated high school and went to college.
Yes. Okay.
Literally, they had never had dance or anything. And I wanted to start a dance team, and no one would let me start a dance team because it was like, you're not going to dance. I'm like, dance? You can't do dance? Nope. That's so weird.
Yo, King David did dance. That was a...
I did like a whole like petition thing, like not petition, but like packet saying all the verses in the Bible where God says singing and dancing is praise to the Lord. Anyway, then I had to audition like a hip-hop dance in front of the board. Yeah. And then they approved it, so I made the first ever dance team there, hip-hop dance team, at my college. And we'd performed at, like, the basketball games and all that. And then one time, we wore this, like, hip-hop-y outfit, and we all wore bandanas.
And that was it, the bandana.
Big trouble.
Oh, no.
Because now we're, like, gangsters. I was like, what? Like, we're so innocent. It's a bandana, you know?
Are you sure you were innocent?
Hey, can we tell you about the Jews? When you guys go to Israel, you're going to see those Jews party.
Really?
They like to dance. Oh, they dance, But they come dancing down the street, parading with songs and instruments, and they're just dancing. Like, the Jews, God's people love to dance.
Awesome.
How cool.
I love it.
So it's true. But you know what? Back to and the reason why I like to talk about these conversations is because this show, I want to inspire people.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't have to always be like this. We need to trailblaze. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, there's gonna be disappointment.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, Sonny Sandoval, he when POD first started, they played at a youth group.
Yeah.
And they had him come on, and they played one song. And after the guy walks up on stage and basically shuts it down.
Oh,
thank you very much.
And he goes, okay, everyone, give a clap. And he said, everyone clap like this, like, okay. And they just dismissed him.
Wow.
And then right shortly after that, they just blew up.
Wow.
So this is to encourage you guys, do what you do.
Yeah.
Some people aren't going to like it, but some people are going to love it. And dude, there's a lot of people waiting for it.
Yeah.
Right. People and that stuff sharpens you. All those disappointments will sharpen
you and
everything.
It's okay if some people don't like it, too.
But you have an interesting audience, too. So there's a whole audience that he can hit because of his background in music, because of his background in rock, because of his testimony.
Yeah, major
and then
reach.
Because of his style of music. That's hitting a whole demographic that is waiting for that, just like you said, or they're not Christian. Like his own brother loves one of the songs, and he's like, "Dude, this is awesome!" And he's not a Christian, but he's willing to listen to a song called "Praise the Lord,"
and he's singing
because
the lyrics.
It's
because of the sound.
Good, So that's what's cool about him. But I'm super into like the production of stuff. I love like the when we come up with a concert set and you know what all that's going to look at, what kind of message we're trying to get across, what's the whole vision and the mission. And that's kind of what I'm into, the aesthetics of everything. And so we're really wanting to, aside from like the Brad Alden music component in writing songs and continuing to release music. We're also wanting to kind of call our ministry the Unfiltered Gospel, which is what he mentioned before, where it's an umbrella over a bunch of new things that we're wanting to put out. We're filming a lot of behind the music videos, behind the scenes stuff, you know, of writing songs, recording the music, also how the songs came about. And then we're also wanting to do some episodes on just kind of our life and how we're trying to make sure that every part of our life is a ministry. It's intertwined. There's no like sharp divide and separation between your private Christian life and your public work life and all of that. Instead, we're intertwining all of that and showing, wanting to, as we're learning, show other Christians how that can be done and how, you know, it's not like we do it on purpose where we, you know, mentally say, oh, I'm going to put my Christian life in a box at home in my private prayer and on Sundays. We don't literally do that. It just happens because that's kind of the way our society's set up.
Yep.
So we're trying to like go against the grain, create a new culture and kind of show, you know, tell a little bit of story. Okay, this is how we are intertwining our denim business with music. Yeah. This is how we're intertwining all of these things. And then we have so many friends that are working with us on these projects that, you know, have great testimonies, great stories. And then people that, you know, like pastor struggling with, you know, that got a DUI is a friend of ours, and just really wanting kind of not what you're doing, like an interview, but just kind of show in our lives how these people are helping us grow as human beings, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's under the Unfiltered Gospel. We're wanting to intertwine everything and, you know, in this, in 2020, in addition to the music, come out with just more stuff that's just showing our lifestyle as well, you know, and how we can make that. We're still forming it, but just figuring out how to help people in their Christian walk, you know, and in their Christian walk in culture and be relevant, just like what you've been saying from the very beginning is kind of our whole mission. So,
well, when, as you say that, I was thinking about, you know, Jesus with the disciples. He just walked along with them 3 years doing, he was just doing life with them, eating with them, going to the temple, going, you know, to the, all different areas of Jerusalem, but just really being with the people and the disciples making mistakes, you know. You just look at the character of these guys, you know, you got Doubting Thomas, then you got, you know, the Sons of Thunder, you know, these guys got an anger problem, then you got, everyone at the, I'm at the table, I'm like, yeah, I got an anger problem, I'm trying to work out. but, you know, Peter, I mean, he denied Christ. This dude was with Jesus for 3 years, denied it, made a mistake. My point of this conversation is that, you know, when you're a Christian, you're not perfect. We make mistakes.
Really?
And
I don't know about you. But
I feel the glory over here. We make mistakes, and that's what you're talking about, is you want to encourage people that, hey, you can make mistakes.
Right.
God's grace is there, and we're going to walk side by side, and we're gonna show you through our lives that we're not perfect, but we're just going to do one day at a time, and we're going to walk alongside you guys. And that is, that's the grace of God, and that is the truth about God. He wants to show that. Satan wants to say, you're a stinky Christian. You can't figure it out. You blow it. You're not good enough. God doesn't love you. Run from him. He's not going to forgive you. It's all these lies. He's called the destroyer.
Yeah.
He wants to destroy your thought process. He wants to destroy your life. But Jesus is the one that gives life, and he wants to walk alongside you, and he wants to show you, like, hey, that's why I came in the flesh, because I went through the things that you went through. I was here on earth. I know pain. I know the hardship. I know the storms that we go through. And this is why he says we could come boldly through the throne of grace and have a relationship and community with Christians.
Right.
You know, someone says, I forget who said it, but I think it's kind of like some of the principles of Christianity. Prayer, fellowship, and the word. I think it's those three. There might be more, but those are three good ones.
Right.
And that's basically what you're going to be showing through this video. And living out the Great Commission, I would add, too.
Right, right.
I think there's four, you know.
Right. And that also, I mean,
that's being a witness, right?
Yeah.
Right. And anyway, one of the things that we heard lately in a sermon and a book I'm reading, which is really good and stuff, but just basically that, you know, salvation isn't the end point. It's the starting point. Like, once you come to Christ, it's not like, okay, now I came to Christ, now I'm just going to go win souls or whatever. That's your starting point of your relationship and oneness with Christ. And that's a journey that you have your entire life, and every day is supposed to be coming to the throne room and becoming closer and more one with Christ, and then showing that example and pulling other people into that same place mm-hmm. of oneness. Mm-hmm. So versus just you give your life to Christ and now you go to church and you're saved.
I made it.
You made it. No, that's your. That's the whole start.
That's the beginning.
That's the beginning.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and then showing just every day is learning how to do that. Every day is learning, how do I become closer to God and what does he want me to do? You know?
That's how you find your call.
That's exactly what you're doing every single day. So we're trying to figure that out. I'm not saying I know. I'm not saying I'm doing that every day. I'm saying that's what we are trying and wanting and know we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know?
And they encourage people that are listening. It's, you know, when I look at life, it's like you go through these chapters. Like when you go back to like Jeremiah, we've talked about this before, how, you know, the potter on the wheel, you know, you have the potter, which represents God, and then you have the wheel, and it's the circumstances of your life. Sometimes it's spinning fast. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's spinning out of control. Then it's going really slow, and then it stopped. That's the way you feel in life sometimes. You're
right.
Like, everything, I can't take it, or like, okay, I got the groove here, or like, nothing's happening. You know, the wheel's not moving. But then you have the potter on the wheel, and he looks at the clay. We're the clay.
Yeah.
And what he wants to do is he's looking at this just this lump of clay that's like a square or whatever. But the potter, God, already knows what he's going to turn that piece of that clay into, that vessel that he's going to use it for. Is he going to use it to is it going to be a big pot? Is it going to be a small pot? Is it going to be a cup? I mean, there's different vessels that you could use for different purposes. And what he does is he gets it, starts spinning it, and as the wheel starts spinning, it's these different situations in life, and he starts molding and shaping you. Mm-hmm. And he's pressing in, and sometimes when he's pressing in the clay, it hurts. Sometimes he has to put some water on to soften it up.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit's the water, and when he does, he starts molding and shaping this potter mm-hmm. or this wheel. And then this is just my illustration of what I've experienced in my life is sometimes God creates me into this vessel for this season, mm-hmm. right? And then once I'm done with that season and he wants to grow me into something else or use me, mm-hmm. like say, first I'm sharing my testimony, and then what he does is, okay, that vessel's done. Now I'm going to break it all down again, and I'm going to remold and create this new thing. Now you're going to share, mm-hmm. this vessel's going to be used for your testimony, and you're going to start teaching the Bible.
Right.
And then he breaks it down. He's like, oh, now you're going to do a radio show and teaching. So I'm going to create this new vessel.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like it's just like these different chapters. Mm-hmm. And some chapters are longer than others. Mm-hmm. And he just keeps breaking you down, molding you, shaping you.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, he shapes you, and then there's like this flaw. You got this flaw in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't use this vessel. I got to break it on down again.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, we can't sleep at night unless we feel like we are doing something for the kingdom, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way our relationship is. We're both kind of one of those tortured soul kind of people. Like, I'm more tortured, like, I worry and I'm da-da-da. He's a little more easygoing. But we both, like, mentally feel this, like,
passion burden
kind of thing, like, what do you want us to do, God? Yeah. And sometimes it kind of sucks a little bit because you aren't satisfied. But at the same time, you're like, it's feel like you know something that not everyone knows. So you have to like tell everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So it's this weird zone you're in. Passion, and then not knowing the exact road, like you're saying, okay, what are you forming me for this season, Lord? And I know there's a 500 things I need to learn.
Yeah.
And then once I learn those, what is the next season like? Because sometimes sometimes we're like, if we like didn't spend all of our money on ministry, there's a lot of stuff we could do. I mean, there's a lot of clothes and shoes I want to buy. Cuz
that's the other thing too. Your prayers are answered, it isn't always easy either. Yeah. Like, so I'd say everything we're doing now is like stuff we prayed we want to do, and then you have this responsibility, and there's employees, and there's
Cuz you run a big business.
Yeah, we run a business in our ministry too. We hire musicians, we pay for tours, and it's a lot sometimes, and you go, gosh, is it worth it? And then
then we're like, we know this is what God wants us to do, so he's going to make whatever it is work in whatever way he wants it.
And you don't always see the outcome here on earth. Right. And there, God, it seems to me like God gives you just little nuggets of little like testimonies. Yep. And different. You don't mm-hmm. see really
right.
The impact of what, right. what's happening, of what happened that night when you were there, the music, how, I mean, it's on YouTube. I mean, you don't even know what's going to, you're going to get to heaven mm-hmm. and God's going to be like, well done, faithful servant. Right. Come on in.
Right.
And look at this. Like, right. you get rewards right. for all this stuff,
right.
But you don't see it.
Necessarily.
It's just yeah. a, it's a, you know, the Bible, you see a glimpse. You know?
Yeah, I have. We have a friend, Karen and Jason, and they have a little home church they do. Well, mm-hmm. base camp. I wouldn't call it little because they've saved tons of people and yeah. everything. But sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I could like speak the word and really, you know, pour into people's lives the way Karen does, because mm-hmm. she's very like personable, one-on-one. Yeah. She's very like, oh, call me, let's talk, and she's just communicative, and I'm not as much like that. I'm yeah. not like, I have like 4 friends, not like 500 like yeah. she does. And then, and you know, because you can see the result right away. She's pouring into someone's life, and they give their life to Jesus right there, and she baptizes them, and then they join their Bible study and discipleship, and you can see that. And like you're saying, we can't always see it, but I know we're impacting on a different area. So she's impacting in that one-on-one, yeah. God squad, whatever.
You know,
and
I call
we're
them?
Impacting in a different place, and everyone has to yeah. cover every zone. You have to cover every zone.
I call those people snipers, and we're like duck hunters. We just shoot the shotgun out.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Because yep. they're sniping one. They're like, okay, I'm going to get this one.
Yes.
But we're out yeah. there, and what we're shooting is we're throwing seeds.
Yeah. Yep.
We're farmers. We're just like throwing the seeds or shooting right. the shotgun seeds everywhere, and yep. we don't know. We don't know the fruit till later, but they're just right. like, bam, yeah. sniper, yep. got it, you know?
And everyone's going to come to Christ
different
in
calls.
A different way.
There's different calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were going through a season of yeah. a little bit of discouragement yeah. A couple times with like expenses or being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And then someone would come to us after maybe a worship event and talk about a testimony of a guy
right.
and what happened to him that right. night and how he was either suicidal. I think this one guy was like 30 years away from God because a friend died, and it's a long story, but at the end, those kind of things come back to you, and you go, "Wow, what is the price for eternity?" You're not going to look back and go, "Gosh, how much money did I spend on this and that and the other?" No,
right?
It says that all the angels will rejoice.
I was just
when one gets saved,
thing. Yeah. When
dude,
one gets saved,
boom, party in yeah. heaven. One,
yeah. right?
That's what it's worth. If heaven
just
thinks it's a big deal,
can't wrap exactly. around that, right? If they think it's, I guess it's a big deal.
It must be yeah, a big yeah, deal. Yeah, yeah. All heaven rejoices,
right?
Yeah, but in the human condition, sometimes you get kind of grinded down,
of course.
And those are the nuggets you're talking about. They come yeah. back, and you're like, oh, that's right.
And God gives you. He's like, you know what, Brad and Danielle, they need this one, and you know, I agree. It's but that's what it's all about. I want to plug you guys' music again because
yep, yep.
I want to keep plugging it so people find you guys.
Thank you.
Brad Alden Music on any platform you could find it. They have a new EP out on Sony Music called New Soul, October 4th.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out and you guys are touring. Hey, you guys, listen, book them. Book them to come to your guys' church, any other events.
Mm-hmm.
They find you where?
At the Brad Alden on Instagram, bradalden.com, bradaldenmusic@gmail.com.
Yep.
Yeah, 2020, we're going to London.
Yeah, tell us where you're
going. We're going to Nashville soon, right yep. before the Dove Awards. We're going to do an album release concert.
Really?
At the Dove. The Dove Awards are
the 15th. It's the day before. They're
doing
a bunch of pre-show stuff.
We're doing a little at a coffee house. We're doing a little acoustic.
Dude, that's dope.
Yeah.
When is that? I don't even know when that.
October 15th is the show, so it's the 14th.
Yeah. Cool.
And then we go to London, and we're going to play at an international Bible college there. So there'll be like thousands of students from all over the world going to Bible college, and we get to share with them, and that's going to be amazing. And then Italy will be going to Venice, Rome, Naples. And there's an international conference there that we're doing. We're going to do something with B.J. Putnam, who's a pretty well-known contemporary worship mm-hmm. guy.
Cool.
Then 2020, we're going to leave Christmas alone and just do normal things. And then 2020, the second and third song of the EP will kind of get promoted, and we're going to start visiting churches all over the country. So, yeah, anybody listening that likes to book worship experience or guest worshipers, feel free to contact us. We love it.
Dude, that's dope.
Yeah, this is our ministry. This is what we want to do. So we love doing like a worship night, you know, where we incorporate songs that we wrote, but then also do some of the, you know, Bethel songs or whatever.
Yeah, just to be worship.
Yeah, just to get close to God.
Yeah.
And then other times we just like to join the band at whatever church and just like be a servant, you know, help serve, help share maybe one of our songs or just join and help with some of their stuff. We're trying to like do ministry here, you know, and just also meet people and
Let's hear some like cool stories, how some people have been influenced just out in the garment industry. I mean, I know that when your first album came out, basically what happened is you were doing the worship thing and you invited the whole industry to come out to a big worship service, which that's crazy. You got a full church of all these people
fashion
from the
designers.
Fashion designers that don't go to church.
Yeah.
And now they're in church listening to the CD.
Right. And then also our song was called Lord of All and Would You
Lord
Believe.
Lord of All, that's right.
So it's not a very like, you know, discreet title or anything.
The Lord
song
of all.
The song is about God, people. Yeah. And yeah, so many of our friend or his friends really in the industry just love the song and they listen to it and everything, even if they're not a believer.
I know. See, that's amazing.
So it's really
so
cool.
Seeds.
You know, and we know that because they'll say, hey, you know, your song's on my Spotify playlist and or whatever. So it's really neat.
And you know, it's so cool because that all that stuff develops from relationship. And you know, because people go, well, I want to reach the world. How do I do this? I'm like, dude, start with relationship. You know, the people that are not Christians, you know what they think about Christians? They just want to come up and they want to say what they want to say. They don't want to hear what I have to say. They're right. And then they want to close the deal and do the prayer.
That's good. Close the deal.
They just want to close the deal. Yeah. Think about that. Like, as Christians, let's be honest. As Christians, I want to lead everyone to the Lord. Well, dude, why don't you start by just going and develop a relationship?
Exactly.
And that's what I do. I skate, so there's a park close to here that I would go pretty much every day after work. I'd just go skate there. And by me going there, I just started developing a relationship. Mm-hmm. Never talked about anything with anyone, just skating, just sessioning the bowls or whatever with them. And then conversations will come up like, oh man, you know, I'm so hungover from last night. And I'm like, and I'll be like, oh yeah, that's one thing I don't miss. I've been sober for 10 years or 11 years now. I don't miss hangovers. I used to drink like a pirate and do this and that. And then that next thing you know, that opens, wait, you don't party anymore? And then, you know, that opens conversations right there of why I don't and what I do now. What do you do for work? Or I have skateboards. I'll hook them up. Hey, here's a skateboard. And then what happened is those guys ended up approaching me, all the locals. And these guys are smoking weed, drinking beer, the whole thing. They approached me. Hey, we're doing a skate park. We're doing a skate contest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sick. I'm like, I'll sponsor it. What do you mean? I go, dude, I'm going to bring $1,000 best trick. I'm going to bring $1,000 for best trick contest. And I'll help you guys print the flyers. You design the flyers. I'll print them for you guys for free. I'll bring products to give away. And I even had an In-N-Out truck show up. Free burgers.
Awesome. Yeah.
Right? That courtesy of In-N-Out. Yeah. Thank you, In-N-Out Burger. So, dude, this whole thing just turned into this big bash. And these kids were just blown away about what happened. And this event, we showed up. And they knew who I was. We gave them, like, whosoever testimonies with our testimonies on it. We had the Gospels of John there. We didn't push anything on anyone. But they were so down for us and what we did that basically I started to be able to witness to all these guys. And now these guys all follow me on social media.
By relatability.
Awesome. Just by hanging out, developing friendship. Just loving on them.
Yeah, speaking of that, even internally, like, about getting out and about in the world, we meet so many people that are, like, we have a videographer right now. He's born kind of, he would say, Jewish, but he like, they never go to a temple or whatever. And he doesn't believe in Christ, but he's not against it either. So he travels around with us this last weekend to Austin, things like that. And it's just kind of cool because he's praying with us and he's hearing about all of it and asking questions. He's, like, 26 years old. So you also hope you can be an influence by just having people hang out with you and not being afraid, oh, he's not a Christian, so he can't work with us or he can't be around us. I think that's a wrong mindset in some church communities.
Well, this is back to the earlier conversation. We were talking about witnesses. You're either a good witness or you're a bad witness. If people are walking next to you or not next to you, but if they're working with you and they're around you, they should see your life, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, of Christ in your life. And just doing business and being there, they see you pray before a meal.
Right.
They not that you're doing a show, but you know, naturally you pray before a meal and just hanging out. You don't cuss. You're not doing dirty jokes. You're not watching porn.
Not chasing women at the end of the night.
These little simple things that may seem like nothing. Dude, that's huge to a non-Christian. They cuss. They're looking. They're talking about dirty jokes. They're watching porn. They're chasing women. They're getting drunk. You know, they're doing these things. This is these are huge things. Just doing that.
My brother Nick would totally follow God if he felt like he could fit in and be himself.
Just be yourself.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what. This is why we do the show. God wants. You know who wants you to be yourself? God.
Amen.
God wants you to be yourself. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He wants to put his. He wants to be inside of you with his Spirit. He's an extraordinary God working doing supernatural things in the natural realm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You just be natural and he does extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for being on. We got to do this again.
I love it.
Dude, that was a sick conversation.
It was sick.
It's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a good
day. It's going to be a good day.
Okay, so check this out. New album, Brad Alden Music. Book them to come out. They want to do music at your guys' church and any events.
Man.
New Soul is the album coming out. It's an EP. October 4th, it's on Sony Music. You can get it anywhere.
Yep,
anywhere. Any platform.
Yeah, any platform. Yeah.
Download it, get it going. They can run a rad denim business, and they're just awesome people. And don't forget, please, we are doing high school tours. Book the whosoevers to come to your school. We are touring the world, and we are seeing revival break out. We love you guys. Go to thewhosoevers.com, and we got sick product that supports the movement. We love you guys, and I guess next Saturday it's going down again.
Love you, man. Love you, man. Peace.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
Hey, Ted, what do you want to do today?
Well, Ashley, I've always got work to do, naps to take, but I have a better idea. How about we invite everyone to listen to the Team Us podcast?
I love that idea. Let's do it right now. Hi, everyone. We're Ted and Ashley Slater, and we'd love for you to join us as we talk about teamwork in marriage.
We share how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
To listen, go to lifeaudio.com and search for Team Us.